Good afternoon, everybody. The title of my talk is Taming the Flying Cable Monster. It's about topology design, data center topology design. This is work in collaboration with Jairam Mudiganda and Jeff Mogul at HP Labs. So what's the problem? So suppose you're a network design engineer and you have to design a large data center network and you want it to be cost effective. So you start looking at what are the options. You see what kind of topology to wire up your network. And there are a bunch of topologies to choose from with different costs and different properties, like bisection bandwidth, latency, and so on and so on. And then you look at switches. Again, you'll see a wide range of types of switches that are available. And then cables, you have lots of types of cables, and how do you put them into racks? You can put them into different configurations, and so on and so on. Suddenly you realize that this is a really complex problem with very huge design space. So what is this paper? This paper introduces this novel research area about data center topology design and wiring. We basically characterized this problem, the area, and exposed several interesting problems in this area. We also propose a framework for allowing engineers to explore through this design space. And we have a workflow to find out the cost-effective network, and we show several optimization problems and present solutions to some of them. Now I'll talk about all the disclaimers about what this paper is not about. It's not about characterizing the precise costs of any topology, because it heavily depends on the cost models, which are many times private and confidential. So don't believe the exact cost numbers from the paper. Don't quote them for any of your studies. And so this, and we are not trying to compare the general merits of the topologies either, because the models, it heavily depends on the real cost prices. And also, we don't claim that we are solving all the dimensions of the problem, as you will see that there are like several aspects to the problem, and it's very, I show several of the open aspects in this problem. So this is the outline of my talk. I'll first delve deeply into the problem a little bit more, and then talk about the Perseus framework, and then show some sample results, and spend quite a bit of time on the further steps, open problems, et cetera, and summarize at the end. So the problem, as we have heard several times, the cloud data centers are becoming larger and larger, and the applications that we are trying to run in these cloud data centers also require very high bisection bandwidth. Like we have seen MapReduce, which has a shuffle phase, which requires lot of bandwidth between the machines in the data center. And also, if you have a virtualized data center for better VM placement, for VM migration, and so on, you need good bisection bandwidth. The typical, the old traditional way of wiring up the data center with tree topologies won't scale and give you better bisection bandwidth, because the root will be the bottleneck. And so we need data center networks with multipath topologies. And You can achieve high bisection bandwidth with limited port switches if you have multiple paths in the topology. And FAT tree, HyperX, B-cube are some of the recent research proposals on building these different topologies. Previously, these topologies would not have been possible, but now we have several multipath forwarding techniques, such as VL2, Spain, Portland, Trill, and so on and so on, to really utilize these networks. And also, we can construct these because of high-speed, several port switches that are available now. So you have these topologies, but again, there are lots of these topologies to choose from. And these are each of these, FAT tree, HyperCube, Qlik, these are all topology families. And there are several free parameters, like what kind of switch do you use for each of those nodes in the picture, and what kind of links do you use. As you look around and try to design a topology, you'll see that the design space is really huge. Most of the previous work, topology work, looked at trying to come up with a topology that maximizes the bisection bandwidth or minimize the number of maximum hops and so on. But in practice, when you go and try to really design a data center network, wiring also plays an important role, and it also becomes a complex problem. So what is our goal? We are trying to come up with a cost-effective network that has really good performance and has low cost. Performance has several aspects to it. So you have bisection bandwidth, worst-case latency. These are very common metrics that you would think of, but then there are other kind of performance metrics that you may be interested in, like reliability, serviceability, manageability, or expandability, and so on and so on. And on the cost side, you have the capital costs. That's the first-time cost, and then the operational cost. The capital costs include all the parts that you need to buy, the installation labor, those like the switches, servers, cables. And then on the operational side, you have the power costs, and you have the administration costs. And then there is SKUs, which is the number of spare parts that you need to keep around. That can also play a role in your operational costs. So, and on top of this, you have other real-world constraints, like sometimes you have the switch faceplate size restricts how many ports that you can have on them. And there are constraints like you have these cross cable trays running on top of the racks in the data center. You have restrictions on the weight or how many you can have because of the cooling reasons and so on. And then the space within the rack can restrict how many cables can run on the side, how many cables can go out of the rack, and so on. And also, there are other constraints like cable length constraints. So let me show a graph here. So here I'm plotting the cable prices for 10 gig cables. And on the x-axis is in length in meters, and on y-axis I have the cost per lane of 10 gig. I intentionally blocked out the costs here, again, to say that the costs that we got here are from the website, and nobody would ever buy these cables at this price if you're really going and buying a data center, laying out a data center. We have a real cost for these cables that we got from our engineers, but I can't show them because of whatever confidentiality reasons that they have signed for. But these kind of give you some trend and show you the kind of cables that you have available. So here, the bottom three correspond to the copper cables, and the top the one is for the optical cables. Optical cables are expensive, copper cables are cheap, but one of the real constraints you have is these copper cables can't span more than certain size. So beyond 10 meters, you have to go for optical expensive cables. So these kind of constraints, all these kind of constraints and the pose make this problem really hard. So what has been done previously? So the classical topology analysis I have, as I mentioned previously, mostly focused on optimizing the bisection bandwidth or minimizing the number of hop counts and so on. For example, HyperX paper, the HyperX topology paper by Ahn et al., they talk about finding a HyperX topology with the minimum number of switches that achieves a given bisection bandwidth. And in many cases, the cabling complexity isn't considered in these papers. And if you look at these problems a little bit more, they all look like the placement and routing problems in VLSI world. But if you dig deeper, you'll see that they all differ in some of the details. The two recent other papers that are kind of closer to about topology study are Popa et al.'s CoNext paper at 2010. They compared different data center network architectures. They consider factory and other topologies. But they didn't focus on figuring out a best topology for given cost budgets. They started with topologies and tried to compare the costs for those topologies. And they didn't consider the placement optimization and also assumed simpler models for cable costs. Farrington et al., they had Hot Interconnects 2009 paper, and they analyzed cabling issues for FAT tree networks. They consolidated the upper level switches in the FAT tree and designed these FAT trees using merchant silicon and use traces on circuit boards for connecting those. But this is, again, applicable to factory networks, and then also they are not looking at coming up with a topology for your given constraint. So overall, all the related work is then looking at the specific problem that we started out to look at. So what do we do? This is, or what we propose is Perseus. It's a framework to assist design engineers in exploring the huge design space. And we defined the design workflow, and we incorporated several different topology families. So let me show the topology planning workflow. So here are, on the right side, the blue blocks show the different steps of the workflow. I will not go into details of all of them. I'll just focus a little bit more on some of those blocks. The first is the user inputs that include how many servers that you are connecting, going to connect, how many number of racks, and any rack layout restrictions, et cetera, that you can specify. And optionally, an user can specify, okay, this is the bisection bandwidth that I want, or I don't want to have more than these number of hops in the network. And also, they can provide the available parts, what are the kinds of switches, cables, and the cost models, costs for all these components. And then they can also optionally specify one or more of those topology families that I mentioned. So the first step for the Parsers framework does is to generate candidate topologies. So we have looked at two topologies, EGFTs, extended generalized fat trees, and HyperX. In this talk, I'll mostly cover about EGFT. So what is an EGFT? It's basically we extended the parameterized fat tree topologies. And we have four parameters to describe any of these fat trees. So I have an example fat tree at the bottom, and I'll explain a little bit about these parameters with respect to that diagram. So I have the first parameter is the number of levels, and in this case, I have three levels of switches. And the second parameter is the aggregation factor, the number of modules that we are putting together at each level. So at the lowest level, this aggregation factor is 2, and as you go up, it's same in this case. In this in simple fat tree, the aggregation factor is 2 at every level. And then the second parameter is the number of top switches in each of these levels. So as you can see at the bottom, we have only one top switch in level 1 module. At the level 2 module, you have two top switches. And at the level 3, again, you have two top switches. And the third parameter is number of links between the top switch to the lower level modules. Again, in the bottom, we have only one link. And at the second level, we have two links from each top switch to the bottom, one link from each top switch to the bottom modules. And at the top, we have two links. So these parameters define the fat tree for us. And one performance metric that I'm talking about is bisection bandwidth. And here I'll talk the alternate of it, which is the oversubscription, which describes how many bottom servers share the downlinks from each of the level's top switches. So on the right-hand side, I show the oversubscription factors at every level. And in this fat tree where there is no oversubscription at every level, we have an oversubscription factor of 1. So it's a full bisection bandwidth network. So if you're looking at generating candidate topologies for EGFT, and if you're given N servers that you want to connect with R-port switches, so what we can do is bottom up, you can build up your fat trees. And for each level, you can choose the parameter values for MCK parameters that I described previously. And the only requirement that you need to satisfy is that each top switch should connect to all the modules at the lower level. And this leads to the constraints that I show there. You can work out the details if you want. But the key point is these variables, you can assign so many numbers, so you will end up with so many different fat tree topologies that are possible. So the search space can be really huge. For example, for n number of servers of 1024, and if you're trying to build fat trees with 48 port switches, you will end up with more than a billion possible fat tree topologies, each with different properties. So what do? We go and try to figure out some heuristics so that we can cut down on the search space and show us only some good topologies that have like better bisection bandwidth without losing that much performance. So again, I'm not going to go into the details of the heuristics. I'll just show some of the results of these heuristics for a few configurations that we have run our tool on. On the x-axis, I show different configurations for which we run our tool. And on the y-axis, I'm showing the search space size. Note that it's on log scale. On the bar charts, the leftmost bar shows the number of configurations, number of topologies that you generate if you do the generation naively. And the other bars show what the number that we generate after we apply the heuristics. So the two points to note is that the number of configurations, if you don't have any heuristics, but the search space is really huge. And the second point to note is the right-hand side bar where we apply all the heuristics cuts down the search space to quite a bit of factor. So the point is that the heuristics work well. So that's the second step, and then that's the first step. So the next step is once we have figured out the subset of topologies that we are interested in, each of those are logical topologies that shows what are the servers, what are the switches, and how they are connected. Now we need to figure out the physical topology layout for your logical topology. Like, you need to figure out the racks, their locations, where you will put each of the servers, where you will put your switches, how will you route your cables in your data center topology. So this, again, is an interesting problem. At this point, we have a couple of heuristics where we don't place server and its edge switch in two different racks, and we pack the racks as much as possible. And these are the two heuristics that we have in our system at this point. Third step is to compute design cost. So you have the mapping of, you have your now physical topology. Now you need to figure out for each of those physical layouts, what's the cost going to be. So then we plug in the cost model, the values from the cost model that user specifies. For our analysis, we used $500 for 10 gig port. This is a number from several papers. And for cables and connectors, we use the values from the website listing prices that I have shown in the previous graph. And for cable installation, we have some numbers based on our experience kind of building a factory network at HP Labs using outside contractors. And note that the, as I mentioned before, user inputs can include a different cost model. And this is a tool that will basically take those cost models and plug them in to compute your costs. The final thing is to visualize all these results for different topologies that we generated. At this point, it's very rudimentary. We generate a bunch of Excel sheets, 2D plots, and simple dot diagrams to look at these topologies. There is a lot of work that needs to be done here. So I'll show some sample results. Again, don't pay much attention to the absolute values there. The different parameters that we have tried with, we have tried with 1K to 8K number of servers and different switch radiuses. In all our experiments, for all topologies that we generate, we limit our topology generation to using same type of switch for each topology. I mean, across the topology, we'll have same single radix switch. And we have played with various number of terminals per edge switch. And as I said again, the switch cable costs are list prices. If you're building a data center, you wouldn't buy at these prices. So the first graph I'll show is the cost versus bisection bandwidth for factory for 1K servers. So the two parameters that I'm varying are the switch radix and the servers per edge switch. So you don't need to understand this graph just to show that this graph, the tool allows us to look at so many topologies and plot them on different 2D dimensions. And here I chose to plot it on network cost versus bisection bandwidth. And it allows you to narrow in and zoom in onto some specific topologies that you are most interested in. So we can look at, say, just the bottom two lines. And the on the x-axis, I'm showing the bisection bandwidth as normalized value. Since I described to you oversubscription factor, the oversubscription factor for each of those bisection bandwidths is shown in those square boxes. As I said, I will zoom on to just the bottom two lines, which have the lowest cost. They correspond to 64 and 48 port switch configurations. The point to note is that if you, let's suppose you are interested in by oversubscription of 4, you may go and choose a 48 port switch to build your factory. But the problem is that won't be expandable or upgradable beyond oversubscription of 2. Whereas if you started with 64 port switches, you could easily upgrade it to all the way to full bisection bandwidth. And another observation from HyperX topology generation graph, again, similar by network cost versus bisection bandwidth. So again, there are a bunch of lines corresponding to different configurations. And I will focus on just one line, the black line, where you notice that as you go to the right, where you are increasing the bisection bandwidth, but the cost drops. So if you started with a lower bisection bandwidth and try to focus only on that bisection bandwidth to design your network, you may end up with a HyperX topology that has higher costs. So instead, by using this automated tool, which can generate a bunch of these configurations, you can choose a topology which has better bisection bandwidth and also has a lower cost. So that's with the results. Next, I'll talk about several of the open problems that we still have in this area. So the first one is the optimization problem, which I briefly alluded previously, which is to map from logical topology to physical topology. So the problem is you have given this server switches and links between them in logical topology, and the idea is to figure out the rack locations for each of these elements that minimizes the wiring cost. So what are the constraints? You have rack constraints that racks have certain heights, and there is limit on the number of cables running inside the rack and cables exiting the rack. And also you have cable tray constraints, that each row has a cable tray running on top of it, but you don't have cable trays running on every column in your data center because of the cooling reasons. And cable constraints, again, cheap copper cables are, but they span only like certain length, about 10 meters. And you need to use high-cost optical switches if you want to go beyond 10 meters. So the idea is you want to map your logical topology into your physical space such that you are reducing the overall cost for your cabling. We have made some progress on this problem, and we can show that it's NP hard for general graphs, and it's NP hard for even if it's a planar graph. And we are working on heuristics for fat tree and HyperX topologies. So the other optimization challenges that we haven't considered yet are the non-uniform bisection bandwidth. So that's another performance metric where you don't care about one single bisection bandwidth across your network, but you may want to have several subgraphs with better bandwidth among them, among the nodes. The other metrics are reliability and expandability, serviceability, power, and also topologies with different switch types and so on. The direction is to work with different kinds of topologies, so B-cube, CAM-cube, et cetera, where servers act as both endpoints and switches, so that brings in another optimization angle to this problem. And finally, about Perseus tool, it's currently a preliminary prototype. There's a lot of work required there. So one of the things is it's currently scalable to design networks of about 8 to 32K servers, but we need to have several more heuristics, like in generating the candidate topologies and so on, to be able to scale it up to 100K servers. And we need better visualization tools. We need to be able to generate wiring instructions and need modules to verify the installations once somebody goes and wires those topologies. So in summary, data center wiring is a rich resource area with several open problems and several interesting hard problems. It's for manual engineers, it's a very large design space to manually go through all the possible points. Our current work barely scratches the surface. We have done work on Perseus, which is a framework to automate this process of exploration through design space and allows engineers to look at multiple configurations easily. And we have considered various topologies and exposed several interesting problems and presented solutions to some of them. But many of these are still very much open problems which require a lot more better solutions. Yeah, that's the end of my talk.
Yeah, so hello. So it's Sergey Blackdoor from Simon Fraser. I'm actually intern at HP Labs currently, so it's double interesting to me. Okay. So I know that you maybe didn't investigate it in details, but I mean, one of the biggest issues in data center is cooling, right? The cooling problem. So far, the way it's addressed is that if you have some kind of a hot spots there in data center, it depends on the framework, but you can, in theory, you can migrate the workload away from this hotspot to cool, right? Again, you didn't investigate it in details, but just it's really interesting to hear what you think about this problem. So will it complicate this optimization problem significantly to take into account cooling?
Yeah, so I shove all of those into that further work in the power angle.
It's where the power is, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so power has multiple aspects to it, the networking equipment power, and then there is the, like the provisioning power somebody was talking about, and then the cooling costs and all those costs, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a good point. So cooling can affect the placement of switches because switches may, if they're all turned on, they will generate more heat, so it may be better to distribute those switches out. Yeah. So that's an interesting
angle. It will make all of this, the price of all of these cables more expensive, and then you need to allow for more space in the data center and stuff like that. So, but it's extremely important,
yes,
right?
Yeah, so, it is.
Yeah, but you have no like.
No, we haven't looked at that angle.
All right, well, worth a shot.
Yep,
I guess.
It's one of the open problems. Yes.
All right, so I get to get in a bunch of questions. So I'm curious, this seems like a very hard problem, but how often do I need to do it? In other words, are you aware of how often people are rewiring their data centers, or is this sort of one thing that I could spend, looks like $1 million
yeah,
solving.
So it's solving a
$10 million problem once.
Yeah, it's a one-time thing for people, for an engineer who is designing just it for one time. But for a vendor who's trying to sell it to multiple different customers, it's a recurring problem because, so one of the goals where we started off with this project is about wiring a pod-sized data center. And one of the goals there was to have a suite of topologies to offer when you go and trying to sell it to customer. So customer may then say, okay, oh no, my requirement is this bisection bandwidth. What's the best thing that you can give me? So we need to be able to have something to be able to quickly come back and say, what are the costs and what's the topology and all the other aspects. So for a vendor perspective, you may need to like be doing running this multiple times based on what different customers want. From a engineer sitting and trying to design the data center for one big customer, maybe, yeah, it's a one time. But even there, the design space is huge, so this can help. Yeah.
You mentioned pods, so I guess a follow-up question is, does it make the search space easier or harder if I consider the expansion problem of, you know, now suppose that I wanted to sell an entire pod at a time. You know, Sun wants to back up a couple trucks. How am I going to wire those up? It seems like there are more constraints there.
Yes.
Does that make that a much simpler problem if I just buy them in bigger chunks, or are there harder problems regarding now that I have, you know, more constraints that the solving becomes computationally more complex?
That's an interesting problem. So expandability is something that we haven't been able to, or we haven't focused much on trying to quantify or put some metric on so that to be able to actually compare two different topologies. Like I briefly mentioned, showed some points in my results, but that's afterthought after looking at those graphs. But to start off with, if there is some way to quantify, like given a topology, can I quantify what is its expandability goodness metric? So that's something open. So it will be good to have those metrics to quantify these things too.
So I have a related question to what he just asked, is that if I were to design a new data center and I'm starting with these containerized kind of, you know, solutions where somebody's selling me a big container full of servers, right? And you know, so how easy or difficult does it make it to, if I start with that, you know, does it constrict my design space so much that I don't need the solution, or do I still?
No, actually, what I was saying is HP's, I mean, these big companies sell the pod pre-wired, mm-hmm. So as a customer, when they go to these big vendors, they ask for pod-sized data centers, not just as a with racks with servers, but also the networking inbuilt. The idea is that the customer would never open the pod at all. They would just plug in their power, plug in the whatever the network connectivity, and just use it as it is, and not worry about the network connectivity at all. And there, the idea is that customer would ask the vendor at that point, like, these are the bisection bandwidth requirements, or these are the other network requirements that I have, so build the network for me.
So, okay, so this is more of a tool for the person who is building that container, rather than the person who is setting up the data center to use those containers, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So whoever is designing the data center network, that's for them, to explore that space to minimize the cost, yeah.
Hi, I'm Asar from Permit. This might overlap a little bit with the earlier questions, but I guess one thing I was wondering about is how many different topologies for data centers should there be, do we need? How much is this we should find out the one that works best overall, or how much is this thing, you know, things are going to be different for everybody, and there's a cost of having a one special solution for your case, in that systems are different and you need to possibly need to take this into account in different places. Could you give us your thoughts on that?
So, okay, that's a little bit hard question for me to answer, but I'll try to
tell
sure
based
on my limited interactions with people in the business unit. So they do have, the different businesses have different requirements on the bisection bandwidth depending on the kind of applications that they're running on. So from what I heard, basically these guys offer I mean, you have bisection bandwidth requirements and the, whatever the oversubscription factors, right? So people running mostly external facing applications, they don't need that much bisection bandwidth internally. And then there are people running MapReduce or lots of log analysis tools and so on. They need a lot more bisection bandwidth. So there is a spectrum of people that are running different kinds of applications, but it's a good question. So do we need, are these two extreme points, is that good enough? Or as a vendor, it may be better if we offer multiple of these, that makes it more attractive for the customer, because then, yeah, these guys can provide different variations of this. And also we are looking at a problem where the expandability aspect that was brought out, actually that's one of the things that can make a topology better for expandable, and just if you fix one that is good for one end, may not be expandable to the other side. So there are a lot of aspects to it, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.